Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Taos in Baltimore. We are Baltimore Positive, celebrating 125 years with our partners at Coppin State University. I love this shirt, man. And it's like such a winter shirt, so I'm going to wear it while it's a little chilly. Things will be heating up this week at High Ho Pimlico. Dick Girardi is our defending champion. This is my 35th year on the radio discussing Preaknesses. I think that's a record somewhere. I think it is the 35th consecutive year that my one-time colleague, my compadre of Rogers Forge in beautiful York and Bologna here in Towson, Maryland, has made a life in Philadelphia covering the ponies for the Philadelphia Daily News. He is a legend in the equine industry, as well as college basketball and calling all things Penn State basketball. At some point, he and I will kiss the wood at the Palestra. But in the meantime, we did kiss cheesesteaks in North Philly at Joe's together, and I appreciate that. Dick Girardi has been my friend ever since we graced the same pages of Sports First and the Baltimore News American in February of 1984. It has been 41 years. Dick, how are you? Happy, if I can say this, happy Preakness to you this week. I don't even know. Are you coming down and getting a cramp cane going to races, or now you just stay in Philly these days?
No, I'm coming down. I look, Pimlico is the first track I ever went to, Nestor, and I can't not go to the final Preakness at the present facility. So yes, I will be in attendance on Saturday for Preakness 150 and look forward to being back for what I hope will be Preakness 152 at the new Pimlico. I know there's some discussion whether I know it's going to be at Laurel Park next year, whether they'll be able to get back in time in 2027 or not. But whenever it's back at the new rebuilt modern Pimlico, I will also be in attendance.
Listen, I'll mess with the Philadelphia thing later. You and I can fix the Orioles pitching because I know at heart the Orioles were your first love, if not the Colts, if not Secretariat for you. And every horse last week in Churchill was of Secretariat. That's quite a stud fee there, nonetheless. But I just want to throw the floor to you all these years into this. I don't know how much longer you're going to live. I'm going to live. We're going to live. We would have thought Pimlico would have been destroyed the year that all the electronics didn't work and they lost the pari-mutuel wagering. And that was in 88 or 89. Guy tried to punch.
1998, but who's counting?
Okay. The guy tried to punch the horse. What year was that?
I think that might have been the same year.
Running in the urinals. There's
You know
that.
what? It was a little later. I think it was in the 2000s. Yeah, that was
One year when
Artax.
it's all over with, and I'll write the story about the two girls from Albany and the Get Nasty van back in the 90s too in the infield. But Bob Loeffler's still on the planet, so I got to make sure I don't tell that story.
There you go.
But I mean, in all, look, man, I love the Preakness. All my buddies and I went out there. We got hammered. I got sunburned. I missed the Loma, I missed a Sunday silence and a Loma's Ruler because I was drinking. I was 21. Look, I'm 56 now. The track's still there. You're coming down to kiss the old girl. I'm going to be in Vegas this weekend doing the Maryland party. There's a point. I've been out there when the grandstand's closed. I've been out there. I've been out there when there's nobody. I've been out there when it's raining. I've been out there when, the singer from Train sang "Marry Me" to me and my wife in the infield. I've seen Stacy Keibler dance to "Legs" with ZZ Top. I've seen Bruno Mars twice, once in the rain, right? I've seen Tommy Conwell and the Young Rumblers. I've seen boobies. There were a lot of boobies in the 80s and 90s. I got pictures. So, I mean, I've seen it all. I don't know what it's going to be, Dick. And I sit here all day long and I do baseball here. $600 million for Mr. Rubenstein. The team's in last place. Katie Griggs doesn't take my phone calls. Like, I go through all of these changes. I mean, the football team, they got a kicker who's whatever the hell he used to be. And then they draft another kid that gets thrown out of Virginia. So, like, all of the ethics, all the morality, all of the is the horse on Lasix or is it not? All of that. You've been at this a long time. Does this make you sad, Dick Girardi, to come down here? Or does it make you sort of new beginning? We'll fix this. We'll fix the Triple Crown. I mean, the Derby winner's not even coming, and this isn't spend a buck, and it's not 1985. It's 40 years later, Dick. And now on the regular, the Derby winner doesn't come.
Right. So a lot of things need to change here. One is that they're doing, right? The old Pimlico needed to be knocked down. It's outlived its useful life, right? And it has for quite some time. It's just not up to the standards for having any big race, much less a race with the history of the Preakness, which, as we said, will be run for the 150th time on Saturday. So that's great. Look, the Stronach Group, they just kind of lost interest several years ago, Nestor, to be fair. They just didn't work putting any more into it because I think they knew that they weren't going to be there for the long term. I mean, they didn't bid on the casino. That was kind of the writing on the wall that this was going to happen. So now that the nonprofit has come in and the state of Maryland is involved and they're going to make a big investment in Pimlico, the property, I'm optimistic for the future. I think there's possibilities here. Billy Knopf, I've known. He was at Monmouth Park. He's now the new general manager. He's running the place. Hopefully, they get some people with Maryland ties in there that understand the history of the race, what it means to Baltimore, what it has always meant, and get it back to what it was. Look,
I'm
this was
trying to
an
figure out
event.
what it means to Baltimore. You know what I mean?
Well,
Like that's where I am in this, because I've seen
to
Bud Light
me,
Nights, I've seen the Clydesdales, I've seen this thing just deteriorate on my
Well, that's right.
watch as a media member that's been thrown out of their press box 3 years ago when we're trying to promote their friggin' race. The race is going on this week, and you wouldn't know it. Like, other than BAL being all snuffed up into it because they're like media partnered into it, the city's not stopping. You know what I mean? Like, and all the movers and shakers go out to Las Vegas, and there's 2,000 business leaders that go out to Las Vegas this weekend and do business and just sort of skip the race. The governor
So
has to go, but yeah.
here's the way I would look at it, Nestor. Look at it this way. All right, so the Colts left for Indianapolis. It was probably the worst night in Baltimore sports history, right? Well, like what, 15 years later, the Ravens came in and they've become a huge deal in the city. The Orioles were bad, had been bad for a long time until 2 years ago. Then they got young, they got good. I don't really know what is happening this year, other than all their young pitchers are hurt and they got 100-year-old guys out there that can't pitch anymore. And the interest was renewed. This is going to be a little harder because it's a once a year event. But the fact that they're putting all this money into Pimlico, and everything is going to be framed around the Preakness, and you have new management with some new ideas, but they're going to have to recreate something that was I mean, a gigantic success. There really were 100,000 people out there or in that vicinity for a long time when you look at the infield. But having been there the last couple of years, Nestor, I don't know where all the people went, but they're not there. The
The
kids aren't
infield
there.
became something, and I was a part of it, Dick. It
Sure.
was part Baltimore, but it was really a frat party and a
That was
sorority
an East, it
party.
was an East Coast college thing
It was
that
an
because
East
of
Coast,
changes.
Kutztown State would bring two bus
Sure.
loads of girls down here to get hammered,
Right.
and that's what this was.
Right. And they got to figure out a way not only to recreate that, but also get a buzz around the race itself where you can get the people that are willing to pay big numbers, not the Churchill Downs numbers where people are paying eight, 10,000 for a day. I mean, that's not going to happen in Baltimore. And you're never going to be the Derby, but you can make it bigger. So the couple of things need to happen. One, this new building needs to be hopefully as good as everybody wants it to be. And then they got to go out to all the communities that you need to go out to and sell this race again. And then, Nestor, probably most importantly, and this is something that could happen fairly soon, but may not happen at all. You mentioned before, no Kentucky Derby winner this year. That can happen in the future. The only way you can make sure that doesn't happen, move the race. The race has to get out of the middle of May, has to go to the beginning of June. So you give the Derby winner 4 weeks. And I think the way right now, there's no incentive for that to happen. NBC owns the rights to the Preakness and the Derby. They don't want to move it. Fox owns the rights to the Belmont. They don't want to move. Belmont does not want to move off their date. So here's what's likely going to happen. May happen. NBC is going to hold on to the Derby. The Preakness is most valuable as a national event with the Derby winner, right? So how do you get that Derby winner? Well, you move the race back. Well, then Belmont Park's going to say, well, we don't want to move our race back. Well, guess what? Find a way when this contract runs out with NBC to go with Fox in the Preakness. Then Fox will have an incentive. They'll want a triple crown on the line, right? For the Belmont, they'll have an incentive to move the Preakness to get it 4 weeks away. And then that way you get the Derby winner and then you'll have a chance. The Belmont Stakes is a much more valuable property, dramatically so, when there's a triple crown on the line. And trust me, Belmont Park is not happy that the Derby winner is not here. I know he's going to run in their race, but it ain't the same as a horse running in their race. And keep in mind also, while Pimlico is being reconstructed, so is Belmont Park. They're going to open probably in 2027, and they're going to want this ironed out so we can find a way to get back to the real Triple Crown. And anybody that says it would be different, it wouldn't be the same with not the 2 weeks, forget it. The whole sport has changed. The fact that the Derby winner isn't here for the third time in 7 years should tell you something. And it's not the fault of Pimlico or the Preakness. It's just the whole sport has changed. Horses at that level do not run back in 2 weeks except for during the Triple Crown, which just happens to be the marquee series in the sport.
Well, Dick Girardi is our guest. He is our defending champion. It is Preakness week around here, and I'm trying to separate fact from fiction and trying to not have kayfabe industry people blowing smoke up my rectum about what this is, because I've witnessed this for 35 years and it is not a going concern horse racing here. My friends at Costas are opening in the Timonium racetrack and what used to be Nick's Grandstand Grill, and I went there. Dick, it was Derby Day. I went there, and this is no offense, and we just lost Mr. Costas, who was very involved. Every man, and it was all men, in that parlor at OTB, Timonium, were contemporaries of Mr. Costas. I was the youngest person in the room by a lot, and I'm 56.
I get it.
And
yeah, no,
I don't know where, and it was Derby Day, and people were betting, and these were real. These were guys who, if you walked in, you would have gotten applause because they all know you in that world. But, and they've known you for 40 years in that world because you're in that industry in that way. I don't smell the youth in this. I don't smell, and much like baseball being so Caucasian that it's frightening, I don't smell any sort of crossover in this or young play in this or outside the beltway play in this for coming to the track the other 364 days of the year. And with all of the horse racing part of gambling and guys and dolls, and when you were a young guy, it was the place you could get action other than Louis the bookmaker. Man, in this world where you can bet on every pitch now, on baseball and all of that, the betting part of horse racing that made it so uniquely aligned with betting, where we're in a world now you can bet on anything, anytime you want, from anywhere you want. That part of it as the sell, it now has to be an entertainment vehicle where people fall in love with the horses, the jockeys, and the horses don't talk. Jockeys don't talk a lot. They have to fall in love with the pageantry of it, or it just has to be a really nice place to go and a good time and something for people to do. And that's a complete – baseball's got the same issue. I really believe that, of this introduction of – what it's going to be when I come. I go to baseball games now as a DJ. It's loud. It's a completely different thing than the reason I went, and that's cool. But people have to buy it, and I don't know. Horse racing, it's been so long since I've seen multicultural, multi-age people anytime, anywhere, and that can be concerts. That can be painting your face with the clowns or day in the park or booze in the infield or whatever it is, but getting people in and around it. Pimlico has been so broken down that they can't have even the Who concerts they were having there 20 years ago or whatever out in the infield. It's been that. I don't know what the vision is. And Dick, from the top down, for the race, for all of this to succeed, there's so many things working against it, including this television thing and all of this that's working against it. I just, much like the football people, we gave them $600 million. You know what they did? They threw people like me out of the press box, moved the press box to the roof, took the 50-yard line and turned it into a $50,000 a year club. Like, that's what they did with their money. I don't know what the baseball team's going to do, but I'm really wondering, like, soup the nuts, this project. What are they really expecting horse racing to be and racing on Northern Parkway in, let's say, 2029 or 30 when it's done? What's it going to look like from a meat perspective, from a purse perspective, from the money that's going to need to be generated to support this and the interest around it? And I ask these questions about baseball all the time because it feels very unsustainable to me for what Mr. Rubenstein purchased. I don't even know the numbers on any of this. I just know that from Annapolis down, through the city, we're going to support this, and the Preakness is ours and all of that. I just don't know who's going to breathe it back to life, Dick. And I don't think it's your industry, by the way.
Well, look, it's a complicated question with not any easy answers. But I think, look, Maryland has something that a number of other states do not have, that are in kind of, California's in kind of an even more dire situation. they have some tradition in the sport and they have the Preakness. So you can frame it around something that is an event, right? They have one of the best three events in the sport. They have a Triple Crown race and with great history. And there is a way to do this because it's been done before. But the whole world has now changed, right? Let's go back 2 weeks to the Derby with this horse Sandman. There's a kid, I think Griffin Johnson, I believe is his name. He's an influencer. He's got like billions of followers. Well, they made him a percentage owner of Sandman. Then all of a sudden, Sandman is all over the place. Hey, the name is great, right? And all of a sudden, he's getting publicity. The horse was the second favorite because of this kid, because he was all over the place and his followers got interested. So you need that. You need, look, I'm not a huge fan of how they've run their racetracks, the Stronach Group, but they've tried to do something with the Pegasus in Florida. That's Belinda Stronach's thing. She has this vision of fashion and money and all of that. That's fine. And the infield at Pimlico. But unfortunately, the fundamentals were let go, right? The track had just deteriorated to the point where it just wasn't, it's not a fun place to go. So
I think also racing in the state when the purses went down and slots.
Well, that's certainly on them to an extent. And the fact that they didn't get involved, they didn't bid for a casino license when that could have dramatically helped the purses, all of that stuff. But I do think with the state is now invested in this, right? The state of Maryland is invested in the future of horse racing. I think they think it has residual value. I mean, all the stuff that you and I already know about, but how can you build up the day-to-day? That's not easy because look, 90% of the money bet at horse racing is bet somewhere other than a racetrack anyway now, because you got your phone, you got different things. But if you can lead in, and Maryland has another, they have Maryland Millions, a big event. They have a couple of big events, but the Preakness is a giant event. If you can find a way to bring that back, and I think it's doable with the right management, the right vision, the right people there. If you can bring that back, then you can make this into something. But yeah, if I told you I knew what it's going to look like in 5 years, I'd be making it up. I know what I hope it looks like, but it's going to take a lot of hard work. Because all those people that used to be coming to the Preakness every year, Nestor, they're not coming anymore. So you got to find, I don't know if that you're bringing them back because they're no longer college age, but you got to find some of those people. You got to find some new people. And to your point, you got to find some people younger than 50. It's just not going to work. It's very analogous to baseball in that way. Baseball tried to speed it up. You can't really speed up horse racing. It's going to go at the pace that it's going to go.
Dick Girardi is a legend in the equine industry and horse racing at the Philadelphia Daily News. He's been my friend for 41 years. We've been colleagues at various points in our lives and have maintained a lifelong friendship. And more than that, has always been based around this week. This week is all Dick has been on this show this week for 35 consecutive years, talking about the race and the breakdown and the jockeys and the ownership and the connections and blah, 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 blah. And now we've just deteriorated into save the race was a big thing for about a decade. Save the track, save this, save the name and all that. Now we can't get the Derby winner here. This was always problematic going back to the genesis of our relationship with Spend a Buck, which you told me the story of winding up at Philadelphia Park and New Jersey and New Jersey, whatever the Derby, whatever the hell that thing was called.
Jersey Derby,
yeah. Whatever it was Park, back State in the Park. Day, 1985, yep. People can look it up. For me, all these years later, I still look at the totality of all of this. And I think it's analogous to horse race or to boxing, where because the IBF and the WBA and the WBC and the Mafia and Don King and Arum and everybody's got a piece of this and HBO's got this and Showtime's got that. Like everybody's into something else. There's no governing body here. And I think the real problem for the Preakness is the Belmont, right? And where that money would be and who owns what and everybody hates everybody and nobody communicates. And I every 52 weeks you and I get together and talk about this. But this is as acute as it's ever been that the schedule's wrong. The schedule's wrong. Period. The schedule's
Correct.
Wrong. So
Correct.
If Belmont's not going to move, what I mean?
Well, they may. The point I was making earlier, Nestor, is they may move. Let's just say the contract is up with NBC, and I don't think NBC's in love with the Preakness if they can't get the Derby winner, right? And NBC can't control that. That maybe Fox jumps in. The Preakness becomes more valuable, obviously, if it's moved, where you're going to get the Derby winner. But yeah, that's something that hopefully will be settled here shortly, because right now it's just a mess. It's not helping anybody, because these are the three biggest single races for wagering in North America every year. It's the Derby, then the Preakness, and the Belmont in some order, depending on whether the Derby winner's coming to the Preakness or whatever. But the Derby is in a class by itself. Forget that. You're never getting to that. But you can be more than what you are at the moment. And the TV thing definitely has to be settled. Here's the good news. For Saturday, journalism was announced yesterday. He's coming, right? We love journalism in general, but we like journalism the horse. He's the best 3-year-old in the country. I know Sovereignty won the Derby. I've stood behind journalism before the Derby. I think he's going to put on a show Saturday. So get out there to Pimlico. You're going to see the best 3-year-old in the country. He's going to win. He'll win big. My man Michael McCarthy is coming in. They announced it yesterday. You have Wayne Lucas, who won it last year, and a great story, right? He's back. You got Bob Baffert is back trying for Preakness win number 9. So you have the big names in the sport. Steve Asmussen is in. Todd Pletcher has won every big race in the world except the Preakness. He's trying to win his first. So you have all that
We got to
Saturday.
change up his crab cakes. You tell him that, you
Yeah,
know?
well, there's crab cakes, there's crab soup, there's Chipperellis, there's whatever you need it to be. It's all good. It's Baltimore. So that is all there. I can't believe you're in Vegas. It's an outrage. I will be in Baltimore. I will be at the
Get my press pass back, Dick, and
Preakness.
I'll go back to pre.
I
Think
will
you want?
talk to the I will talk to new management when they take over and see if I can help you out.
I don't know who's man even managing it. That's the.
Well, the
This is a
Stronach
really
Group is
weird
in
week.
charge. Yeah, Stronach is in charge of the Preakness for the next 3 years, I believe. And then the new group is taking over the racetrack, Pimlico. Stronach will run Laurel until all the racing moves to Pimlico, and then they'll do whatever they want with Laurel. They'll sell it, but they're not going to get any more racing down there.
Dick, the state of the industry and where we are with all that Bob Baffert went through a couple years ago, and horses dying, and PETA groups on fire, and just all of that. Where is the industry in regard to numbers, in regard to things going on in Dubai, things going on in Santa Anita, things going places where it's successful, Saratoga,
Right.
which I finally did experience a few years ago. You
There
were
you go.
right, all of you, Marty, Mickey, all
Awesome.
of you were right. I have
Yep.
not been to Keeneland yet, but it's on my list. If I get back to Kentucky, I'll do it, you know.
Yeah, look, the boutique meets Keeneland, Del Mar, Saratoga are as successful as they've ever been, maybe more. The Derby is bigger than it's ever been. So from that standpoint, at the top of the sport, the Breeders' Cup is huge. They're great. The problem is, and I know I've said this to you before, it's an event-driven sport without nearly enough events. It's a year-round deal. A couple of good things have happened in the last couple of years. So they got this HISA, which is in charge of drug testing, which is in charge of everything. They now have uniform rules around the country. It's not perfect, but it's trying to do it the correct way. And I think over time, that's going to be a positive for the game. There was just a Netflix series that followed last year's Triple Crown. It was kind of the offshoot of the Formula One series. It was so successful and helped Formula One become more popular. I thought it was fine. I thought it put the game in an interesting light. I think it was something that would appeal to younger people. You have great guys like Kenny McPeak who give ultimate access. You get a really good sense of what's behind the scenes in horse racing. The fact that you have Terry Finley at West Point Thoroughbreds who brings in this influencer who was involved with Sandman. That tells you that there are some people in the game. But the problem is, there's just so many people in the game that only care about themselves, that don't care about the sport itself. That's the problem. And look, just talking with the Stronach Group, and they're going to be out of Maryland in a couple of years. They were making noises and have been making noises like they want to sell Gulfstream Park. They want to sell the property. That entire state of Florida is very horse dependent. And if Gulfstream Park goes, I mean, that's a huge problem. And the issue, Nestor, is I don't know if you've been to Gulfstream, but
I
it's
have, but not in a long time. I mean,
right.
I've been
Well,
there
that.
since the remodel, but then I went back to the neighborhood and Cartier and Prada, you know, it just turned, it's a giant, like,
It's a
elegant
mall.
mall.
Yeah,
Yeah.
it's a mall. You're right. I don't
It
love
looks
what they
like
do.
Caesar's Palace got dumped
Yeah,
down into South
right.
Florida. That's
I actually would not have minded keeping the old Gulfstream Park. I thought it was fine, but whatever. That's what they did. But now they're talking about, hey, look, we'd like to find a way to take our casino business and decouple it from our horse racing business, meaning we don't want to be in the horse racing business, is what they're saying. Right now, the governor of Florida seems to be on the horse racing side. If that's the case, then at least as long as DeSantis is there, it's not going to happen. But there's that threat that they could sell the property. And Nestor, it's probably worth $1 billion. I mean, you know where it is. It's there between Fort Lauderdale and Miami, right off the coast of the Atlantic Ocean. So it's very valuable.
It might be worth
Same.
more than a billion. Like,
Right.
I'm thinking about
Right.
what
Who
it is,
knows?
and I'm like,
Right. Who knows what it's worth? It's worth a lot more as something other than a horse racing track. And unfortunately, the same is true of Santa Anita, which is another astronic track, which is probably one of the five most beautiful sporting venues in the country. But yet, it's got all this land and it's also incredibly valuable. I mean, think of this, it's just on the other side of the San Gabriel Mountains from Pasadena. So, what is that property worth east of downtown Los Angeles? Who knows what it's worth? Worth a ton. So that's an issue. That's a longer term issue, but it's a big issue.
well, every golf course is worth more as a
Of
gated
course.
community, right? So,
Sure.
Dick Girardi is here. He has no gates up in his community. He's living in comfortably up in Philadelphia. He has escaped Rogers Forge after a lifetime of Baltimore sports and Philadelphia sports journalism. Anything to add to this thing here on the that to look out for? And I mean, other than you think it's a walkover as a horse race this week, right?
I mean, I do. Look, I think journalism, if you look, go back and watch the tape of the Derby, Nestor, he got completely out of position early because Baffert's horse, Citizen Bull, kind of took a right turn out of the gate and really crowded like seven or eight horses. And journalism was one of those horses. I thought he'd be like fifth coming out of the first turn. Instead, he was 10th. And he was on a sloppy track, which in watching the race and watching how he normally strides, he never really looked comfortable to me. Yet he still made a big move and finished second. If we can get a fast track, and we know we're going to have half the size of the 19 horse field in the Derby, if he can get much better position, I just think he's way better than all these horses. I wish the Derby winner was here. It'd be fun because I'd get a lot better price on journalism if he was here. But maybe they'll have a rematch in the Belmont Stakes in 4 weeks. But yeah, or in 3 weeks. But yeah, I love journalism in the race. But there's some good horses in the race. I mean, River Thames is a good horse for Todd Pletcher. Baffert is here with a horse who's 2 for 2. Now he's untested at this level, but we'll see. We got a couple Sandman we mentioned coming out of the Derby, American Promise for Wayne Lucas. It'll be a good race. The undercard will be good. It'll be good racing, be a lot of stuff to gamble on. Just give me some good weather as I say goodbye to the old Pimlico.
Jason Wirth in the horse racing ownership business, huh? Right? It's all that.
He is. He
Former
had
Oriole
a
draft pick, by the way, and I knew
right.
Jason.
Yeah, he played for the Nationals, obviously, after he played for the Phillies 08 World Series champs.
Well,
He
you
was the
wonder
right
what you do
fielder.
with all your money, worth every penny. He's in the horse racing game, huh?
He had a small piece of Dornick, who won the Belmont Stakes last year, and then he has a at least maybe even a more substantial piece of a horse that ran in the Derby this year. He didn't run very well, but he did run it. Yeah, Jason's great for the game. I mean, he's an athlete. He's still fairly young, loves the game, great spokesperson for the game. Needs to bring some of his friends along with him, all of whom have lots of money, like Chase Utley and Ryan Howard and all those guys that played for those great Phillies teams of the mid-2000s.
All your Philadelphia royalty. By the way, Chase Utley, the dirtiest play in the history of baseball, I see. Dick, last thing for you, because you're a degenerate gambler who's made a lot of money on horse racing, as we've talked about over these years. Here's my gambling proposition for you. Did you think you would live long enough? And I know you saw Secretariat make the run back in the day. Did you think you would live to see every horse in the Kentucky Derby be bloodline of Secretariat? Would you have bet on that or against that, knowing what you know about horse racing?
I would say this, Nestor. I saw that out there. I don't know that that's true. I don't know that it's untrue. I haven't actually gone back and seen and checked it out. I mean, I know it was on the internet, so
How
everything you
can that
see
be
on
possible?
everything you see on the internet, well, anything's possible. I mean, you're now 4 and 5 generations removed, right? I mean, Secretariat ran in the Preakness 53 years ago. So, or 52 years ago. So, right. I mean, think about that. There's a lot of foals. I mean, Secretariat only lived till 1989, but Risen Star was the son of Secretariat. Lady Secret was a daughter of Secretariat. So, yeah, they over time. So, that is possible. Yeah, it's a little crazy. And the other thing I would tell you, speaking of gambling, I'm doing stuff all week for betonline.ag for our buddy Jimmy Shapiro. Get on their website. It's a very cool website. A lot of great Derby or a lot of great Preakness props will be on there and a lot of Preakness bets. So, yeah, betonline.ag, really good website to get on all things Preakness this week.
BetOnline.ag. My man Jimmy back in Philadelphia just in time to win championships up in
Yes,
Philly.
indeed.
Hey, and I just want to say thank you for the cheesesteak at Joe's. A great
Absolutely.
family, nice people. My buddy Todd Radom came out. He lives there in Fishtown. 88 miles away. Tommy Cromwell's playing up in King of Prussia on Friday night. You never know. You never know when
Good.
I'm going to show up on your
Well,
doorstep, Dick.
Nestor, you now know where Joe's is. You don't need me anymore. And you know the owner, so you're good, man. Anytime you want to
You've given me the relationship, the legend of Chink, the whole deal. I know everything that's going on. Dick Girardi is my man. He is up in Philadelphia, but he will always be part of Baltimore. He is licking his wounds and probably doesn't have any innings in him and out of the bullpen for the Orioles. But lifer Oriole guy and lifer Pimlico guy. You gonna shed a tear walking out of Pimlico or no? You no?
It's a good question. Probably not, but who knows? We'll find out late Saturday evening. I'm going to hang up. Normally, I ran out of there pretty fast last year. I think I'm going to hang around this year, kind of just wander around a bit before I bolt out of there. And you mentioned earlier my first sports love, the Colts. That was my team. I mean, I love the Orioles, and I spent many nights, 85 cents in the right field bleachers, talking to Frank Robinson. But yeah, the Johnny U, Lenny Moore, Raymond Berry, Jim Parker. Do you know Marchetti Colts? They were my squads.
See that? See? I mean, that's why I love you, Dick. Dick Girardi is my man. He's up in Philadelphia, a legend for the Philadelphia Daily News, still writing and thinking about horse racing as well as college basketball. Still owes me a day at the Palestra. We're working on that. One day we'll make that happen. Happy Preakness Week to all celebrating. We'll be broadcasting from the pool at the Encore. Steve Wynn, also a Baltimore connection. We're going to be out at the Encore pool all weekend long for the Maryland party. You can learn more about the everything they do. It's a big statewide community networking event for lots and lots of business owners and people prominent about keeping our state running, which we appreciate. Horse racing's running. Luke is running with the baseball team this week as the Washington Nationals come to town. I'm running out to Vegas, and if I'd have survived this AC/DC concert and the Pat Benatar show at Lyric this week, I'm rocking and rolling. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking. Baltimore positive.